Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Nice to pick up a win against the Rangers to finish off that homestand. And it really seemed like that eighth inning was big, able to get some insurance runs and get a little bit more separation to help you win that game.
Yeah, we needed as much separation as we could, given their knack for coming back late in games. And they even did it again with Mazzara's home run. So it was nice to get out of there, with somewhat of a comfortable win. We needed to win a game in that series. All those games were close. And really that entire homestand, we were close to having a winning homestand. We didn't do it with a couple tough losses. But, there's so much anxiousness around every game right now where when you walk out of there with a win, there's a sense of relief and a sense of accomplishment.
Joe Musgrove got the start and pitched into the seventh inning. It was the third time he had faced that very good lineup and pitched very well.
He did. You know, he's got a lot of pitches that he can use. And when he uses them correctly and can really set up hitters, he can be very, very effective. You know, I hated the fact that his outing ended with the big home run. He was at the end of his tank. We hadn't had a starter go that deep in a while. So he was also saved the bullpen with quality and quantity. So proud of his effort. He's a good pitcher when he uses his pitch correctly and can attack some weaknesses.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez in the lineup Wednesday delivered a home run, a two-run shot. Are there certain matchups you like for him, certain times when you like to get him in there?
Yeah, you know, he's a good player, and he's never had this role before. Coming through the minor leagues, he plays every day, and then he comes up here. The return of Rasmus, I've used Kemp a little bit in left field. You've Marwin a little bit in left field. So he's going to get in there against some of the lefties. He's going to play a pivotal role in the next couple days, at least against Paxton tomorrow. I'm going to get him another start. We face some lefties, I think, when we get to Oakland. So his bat against lefties is primarily what I'm going to use, but we've seen what kind of impact he can have when he gets a good pitch to hit.
You had a couple of guys leave that game early on Wednesday against the Rangers. Jose Altuve leaving with right oblique discomfort. Alex Bregman coming out of the game with right hamstring discomfort. Let's start with Altuve. He's in the lineup today, so obviously okay to play.
He is. You know, we got him tested. He stayed back. He didn't take the team flight. He met us yesterday or late last night. He got into Seattle after seeing our doctors, getting some tests done. Tests came back very positive, and I think it also cleared his mind. You know, I think he felt a little discomfort. It scared him a little bit. He was in a little bit of pain, but the day off came at a perfect time. We were able to get him some tests, clear his mind of any sort of soreness and issue. So he's back in there. He put on an incredible display pregame. He's ready to hit. He wants to face Hernandez. He knows that our season is going to be made in the next 16 games. So applaud his effort and his determination to play.
Alex Bregman not in the lineup. Colin Moran coming up, who also can play third base like Bregman has been doing. What's Bregman's status at this point?
Yeah, Bregman. The news for Bregman's not as good. You know, he didn't make the trip to Seattle. He won't be on this road trip. If this was any given month other than September, it would be an immediate DL, which tells you it's at least a couple weeks before we would even consider anything. So where we're at on the calendar, it's a tough window here where it looks like he's not going to be seen here for the rest of the regular season. I mean, miracles happen, and we'll continue to rehab him, but it would have been an immediate DL. He's not on this trip. We don't expect him to play.
AJ Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
In 2004, while the Astros were storming back to win the wild card, Jeff Bagwell's right shoulder was killing him, but he kept playing and had a good year. The next year at spring training, he could hardly throw. Base runners were taking liberties, and he was not only hurt but embarrassed, for though he was known for his slugging, he had been an excellent fielder. Now he was not. In May, he decided to have exploratory surgery without much hope for success. The shoulder didn't get better, but when the roster expanded in September, Baggy was added to it. On this day, September 16th, he got a game-winning pinch hit single in the bottom of the ninth at Minute Maid, and the Astros beat the Brewers 2-1. It turned out to be the margin of victory as the Astros won the wild card by a game and made it all the way to the World Series.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and pleased to have Rick Riz, the radio broadcaster for the Seattle Mariners. And you guys come in pretty high right now, Rick. I know you're all cocky about this series. You guys have won 8 in a row. What's going on with this team? I mean, hitting, pitching, it's all clicking right now, isn't it?
I guess it is everything, Steve. You know, when you win 8 in a row and as hot as this ball club is right now, but the thing that really stands out is the starting pitching.
Yeah.
you know, these, it starts with the starters. Felix Hernandez is being Felix again. Iwakuma won on Wednesday night in Anaheim. He's been really the most consistent guy because we lost Felix early in the season. He was out for about 47 games with a strained calf. And then Taiwan Walker a few days ago. Mel Stottlemyre really worked hard with him for 10 days and really revamped his windup, and he had a near no-hitter against the Angels.
Yeah.
Ariel Miranda coming over from the Orioles in the Wade Miley trade. He's won his last three starts, pitching six innings. It's just been a great combination. When that happens, as you know better than anyone, then the guys down to the bullpen, they have their roles. Edwin Diaz has been incredible as the closer for the ball club. Steve Cishek, who was the former closer, is now setting up. And they're scoring runs.
Yeah.
They're hitting home runs. They're driving runs. The core of the middle of the lineup, Steve, they're going crazy right now. Cano, Cruz, and Seager, really all season long, but especially right now. And they're playing with so much confidence, and they're having a lot of fun.
What happened to Safeco Field for years? I mean, this was the graveyard.
Yeah.
Is it the lineup with all the home runs leaving the ballpark here?
I think it's the lineup. But right now, I was shocked to find this out a few days ago, that more home runs have been hit right here at Safeco Field, which is a pretty fair pitcher's ballpark, and a fair ballpark, than any ballpark in baseball. More than Great American Ballpark Cincinnati, Camden Yards, Coors Field.
That's amazing.
Globe Life Park in Texas. Right here. But I think it has to do with the middle part of the lineup. Robbie Cano with 30-plus home runs. Nelson Cruz has 38 home runs now.
Seager's one away from 30. Yeah.
And the other guys are chipping in. Mike Zunino, the first 3 months of the year, was down at Tacoma where he hit 17. He has 11 now. So I think that's it. And if you hit the ball, it'll go. Especially down the lines like most ballparks. But it's very, very strange. Safeco Field, more home runs than any ballpark in the country.
Tell me about Edwin Diaz. I mean, we've seen him a little bit. I mean, it looks electric, but he's the closer now for the Mariners team. And I would imagine Scott Servais is pretty confident when he comes into the ballgame with the lead.
I tell you what, this young man, Steve, just started relieving, became a reliever on May the 10th. He was one of the top prospects in the organization as a starter. And for about a month, he relieved down at Double-A Jackson, and we called him up from Double-A.
Yeah.
So now you got to find out, well, can he pitch in the big leagues? He started throwing 98, 99, 100 miles an hour and throwing strikes. So then they worked him into the setup role, and Benoit was traded. And then he was so electric, Steve Cishek struggled at that point. They said, why not give the kid a chance? He goes out there and he pitches, and he throws 97. 98, 99, and throws strikes.
His confidence soars,
but he's got a secondary pitch.
Yeah.
His slider, you know, has so much sink and tilt to it that when he did struggle for about three or four outings, he could stay with that pitch and still get it done. So this kid is confident. He's only 22, and now he's the closer. 16 saves and 17 opportunities. He's been electric.
Last thing with Rick Riz, the radio broadcaster for the Mariners, Scott Servais, first year as a manager.
Yeah.
He's a former Astro. A lot of fans in Houston know Scott very well. But how's he been to you? I mean, pretty even keel, it seems like. And helped the team get through the ups and downs?
He's been incredible. First year as a major league manager.
Yep.
First time ever managing at any level. And he's about as even keel as it gets. He's done a great job working with the media, which is a big part of it, but running the ball game. He knows his ball club. Working with Tim Bogar, his bench coach, his pitching coach, Mel Stottlemyre Jr., hitting coach, Edgar Martinez. He lets his coaches coach, and he just has a great feel. But besides, obviously, managing in-game, which you have to do, he's created a really good culture here.
Yeah.
And it started at day one at spring training by getting every guy up. 60 players, 31 new guys, day one of spring training, get up. They all had to talk about themselves. And so what happened was at 9 o'clock in the morning, for about an hour, everybody told funny stories. They got to know one another. They got to know the guy sitting to the left and to the right of them. Then they went on the field, and they got busy on the field. Mm. And he's also created a good culture throughout the course of the season. Just the other day, they completed their Mariners Olympics to tie in with the Summer Olympic Games.
Yeah, cool.
And they had all these kind of fun things to do. So he's kept it loose. He's let them go out there and be themselves. I don't want you to try to do more than what you can do. He's incorporated young players into this lineup. Guillermo Heredia, Daniel Vogelback, who they got from the Cubs organization at first base in tonight's game, Ben Gamel, who we acquired from the Yankees organization. Right. He's really done a good job. Edwin Diaz.
Yeah.
He's done a really good job of incorporating the young players with the veterans, and it's worked. And Scott Servais has done an amazing job his first year as a big league manager.
There you go. That's Rick Riz. Rick, thanks for joining us on Astro Lunch.
Anytime, Sparky. My pleasure.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.
It's time for a bonus track on today's Astros podcast. Warming up with our national anthem to be performed tonight before the Astros take on the Mariners at Safeco Field in Seattle, Mike McCready, lead guitarist for a little band you might know as Pearl Jam.
Connected with your Astros at astros.com/radio.